My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Adam Spillane, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Sports Radio 610. Thank you to Tank Dell for joining us earlier today on the show. That was terrific. Good talking to him. He seems to be incredibly just like, we talk about optimism with the Texans right now. I think that he embodies that perfectly as the Texans finished up day two of training camp here just a little while ago. All right, let's go around the NFL, and we'll start in Chicago, where the Bears have signed Caleb Williams to his rookie deal. And we talked about this earlier in the week, where Caleb Williams was wanting to basically have in his contract that he could not get the franchise tag. The Bears did not grant that. He signed the contract anyways, but it is interesting that the fact that that has come up and that a player actually made that demand, it kind of makes you think that it's going to happen sometime down the road.
We have not heard the last of this. that is very, very clear. We have not heard the last of this when it comes to these. And clearly, and you and I talked about this, clearly the NFL, this is like a non-starter from their opinion. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That doesn't mean that it's that this is not going to be a part of a future contract for somebody, but Caleb Williams in the fold.
Well, and this is when you get into CBA negotiations, and I don't know when the CBA runs out, but it runs out at some point. Like, this is going to be a basically a political football when it comes to CBA negotiations, because this is something that the players want to get rid of. And there's for good reason they want to get rid of it, because they want their players to be free. They want their players to be free agents when their contract runs out, and the franchise tag does not allow them to do that. The players have given up certain things. You know, they agreed to the 17th game. I'm sure they're going to wind up agreeing to an 18th game here at some point. But that franchise tag is something that is worth a whole lot to the owners. And if the players want, when we get into CBA negotiations, that is something that's going to come up.
It is absolutely going to be coming up. And the other thing with this that's just so, it's got to be incredibly frustrating for NFL agents is, you know, the league just controls so much of everything. And what they do is, hey, we want you to play an 18th game. But we'll throw you the no franchise tag clause. You can do that now. but they never really get the guarantees. I mean, I know quarterbacks are getting guarantees and stuff. Like, the NFL has such dominance over its rank and file as opposed to either other league.
Well, I think you see this also, basically, in every league, the young players get screwed.
Yes.
And the franchise tag tends to screw the younger players. You look in baseball, you're under team control. You get drafted, you are in this team's minor league system for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get up to the big leagues, you are under team control for not six seasons, but six, like, full seasons in terms of just, like, service time days.
Yeah.
So that could last 8 years, depending on whether or not you stay in the big leagues the entire time. In the NBA, you're a restricted free agent once your mm-hmm. once your rookie deal runs out. So, it's tough. Like, they really do
but
a lot.
But no one better than the NFL.
Yes, because, again, like you said, the NFL contracts are non-guaranteed.
Yeah.
So you can sign. It doesn't matter, you know, what that top-line number is. What matters is what the guarantee number is. Now, I don't think that this losing the franchise tag matters that much for quarterbacks because quarterbacks get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does impede their
receivers.
Ability. It impedes the franchise tag impedes a quarterback's ability to choose his own team. But it matters, like you said, for the receivers, for the running backs, for the offensive linemen, for the edge guys, because those are the guys who don't necessarily get paid quite the same as quarterbacks. Quarterback is always going to get paid. The other guys, you know, they get what's left over.
The best position group that this would be for, best for, is running backs, because, you know, running backs, everybody, you know, the tread wears out, and, oh, by the way, we can't pay you that much. Go play somewhere else. Whereas after 3 or 4 years, a running back all of a sudden would be able to have the no franchise tag, and they'd be in a better shape financially.
Yes. All right. Next up here, Randall Cobb.
That Randall Cobb?
He has retired, which we knew, mm-hmm. and he's joining SEC Network.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's going to do some TV.
I think he's going to be great there. I just want to know if Aaron Rodgers approved his retirement. Because he's clearly the sidekick that Aaron Rodgers has wanted everywhere.
Well, so I think that Devontae Adams is obviously going to be a first choice for Aaron Rodgers when the Jets inevitably need a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And if they can't get Devontae Adams, then I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers is telling Randall Cobb, hey, stay in shape just in case, because remember, they were teammates last year with the Jets. But I think that Randall Cobb has probably been washed for, I don't know, 5 years?
4 years. I was going to say four or five years.
Like, before he got to the Texans. Like, mm-hmm. the Texans paid him after he was already washed. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Not a surprise. I don't know if he'll be good on TV. I'm assuming that he will, just, you know, from being in the league for a long time. I think a lot of people thought highly of him.
Oh, I think he'll be good.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But it is interesting nonetheless. This just kind of came up. Did you see that Lamar Jackson is kind of in a trademark war here?
I did for
the number 8,
mm-hmm.
where basically I don't even know, like, how you do this, but he wants to, I guess let's see, they both have a shared trademark.
Troy Aikman
and Lamar Jackson, yeah, have a shared trademark, mm-hmm. for the number 8.
I don't know what, how do you have, first of all, how do you have a shared trademark?
It's a number.
Yeah, and it's a, well, that's fine, I guess. You can trademark just about anything. I don't understand how you can have a shared trademark. A trademark means it's yours, and yours is shared other than a business partner that you work with, not necessarily against. So I don't understand this. I was looking at one thread on this, and it just seems like I guess Lamar Jackson filed a notice, and he wants this team, you know, to get the 8 exclusively for himself. He's filed a bunch of trademarks, and Aikman had it, and I don't know. I mean, the thing is, we're kind of laughing about this. There's a lot of money to be made here. Sure. There is a lot of money to be made here with that number.
This is from the ESPN story. Jackson, who owns or has applied for several trademarks using the number in various phrases, says Aikman's attempt to use 8, you know, quote unquote, 8 on apparel and bags would be likely to cause confusion or cause mistake or to deceive the purchasing public as to whether they are buying products from Jackson or Aikman's company. Jackson's attorney said in a filing last week. Whatever.
I don't think there'll be confusion, but I get it. I mean, from a legal standpoint, you want to have it exclusive. But yeah, I think it's bigger than you might think, but it's silly.
It's just silly. It's just dumb. Sorry. Yeah. Speaking of Dallas, there's some apathy.
I wanted to talk about this a little bit. There is a localize it type aspect to this. So Mike Leslie, he's a sports anchor at WFAA in Dallas, and just innocently enough, I'm sure just observation, said, I've never seen Dallas Cowboys fans as apathetic as I've seen them this offseason. And then went on about offseason and all that. And all of a sudden, like some bigwigs, like Brad Sham, who has been around the Cowboys forever, a broadcaster, said, I don't think they're apathetic. I think they're angry and hostile. Shireen Williams, who has been around the Cowboys and the NFL forever, says, I agree. I don't think I've ever seen Cowboys fans this apathetic. This team needs to start off hot, gain some momentum and excitement. Now here's where I wanted to talk about it with you. Don't even think for a second. Oh, Texans opportunity, you know, and to dethrone. No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in the country. The Cowboys are the it team, and we all know that. Yeah, we don't have to like it, but we all know that. But I do think there is a casual fan in Texas, moving to Texas for the first time, whether it's Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, whatever. There is an opportunity to gain more fans that otherwise would have gone to the Cowboys. You know what I mean? Unless they already have their you know, allegiance to the Cowboys. But I think a lot of times when you move into a place, you kind of adopt the teams. Well, if you're moving into Texas, you know, I'm not talking about Houston specifically. Like, what's the team that you're going to be seeing a lot of? They're going to be on national TV more, especially younger fans. No one is going to ever dethrone the Cowboys, but I think you can gain a big footprint here.
Well, it's certainly a reaction to C.J. Stroud, where C.J. Stroud is the next big thing,
yes.
And so he's going to draw in a lot of new fans just for that reason. But I'm surprised at the apathy with the Cowboys, to be honest. But listen, I know they have not won playoff games, and they haven't been to a Super Bowl now, and we're going on 30 years here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like they've been bad. Yeah. Like, the Cowboys have been really quite good, at least in the regular season now, for what, the last 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, they finished with the second best record in the NFC last year. They were a team that could have won a Super Bowl last year. They were a team that probably could have won a Super Bowl each of the last couple of years. So I'm surprised that people in Dallas are as apathetic about that team now.
But there also is this, and they are not the Yankees history, but they have quite the history. It's that standard thing. Now, maybe they're just full of themselves, and Cowboys fans have been criticized for, you know, thinking too much of themselves. But I think that's what it is. The standard is, we got to get to a Super Bowl. We got to get to a Super Bowl. Now they're just apathetic. Get back to me in February, you know?
But it's stupid, because most Cowboys fans have not seen the Cowboys win on any sort of a high level.
You're not wrong.
In 30 years. So, like, be happy, because they had plenty of years at the end of the Switzer era and the Dave Campo era where they were really bad. And even there were times when Parcells was the coach during Jason Garrett's era, like, where they were not good.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they are getting to the playoffs every year, and, you know, they won a couple playoff games here under Mike McCarthy. They mm-hmm. they were blown out in the wild card game last year, but they still finished with the second best record in the NFC.
Yeah.
Like, there should be, I'm surprised that there's just not this level of excitement, just because you look at the NFC East, like, that division is theirs for the taking right now. The Eagles have lost a lot in the offseason, and I'm not a big Jalen Hurts guy either.
Yeah.
But they have a clear path to making the playoffs in the NFC. I guess it almost feels like they are waiting for the other shoe to drop, and they are expecting the Mike, because you have a lame duck head coach that I guess nobody really likes, and you're just expecting, or you're almost like wanting, hey, we can get rid of McCarthy here if we can go, you know, 6-11.
Mm-hmm.
McCarthy's gone. We can move on from that era. I guess that's almost what they're rooting
for. Well, you saw the odds of the Bill Belichick. Apparently, he's coming back, or reportedly wanting to come back in 2025. Who has the best odds? It would be the Dallas Cowboys. So 1-1.
I think a lot of that is just that there is an assumption out there that Mike McCarthy's not going to make it past this season.
Mm-hmm.
And he might not even make it to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's strange when you consider that team won, what, 12, 13 games last year and won the division and was a favorite to possibly get to a Super Bowl. And the year before, they won a playoff game after winning 11, 12 games. So it's just been, it's very strange, just the approach that, just the way that the Cowboys are being talked about right now. And I get they had a bad offseason and they didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Could it have anything to do with the offseason? Because they ain't do a damn thing.
That's apathetic. They were apathetic.
And I guess the big thing where you say they didn't do anything is they kept McCarthy. Like, I wonder if they had fired McCarthy after that Packers playoff game, how different are people in Dallas thinking
they'd be charged.
If Belichick were the coach now, instead of the favorite to be the head coach this time next year,
it'd be ridiculous.
So what's Jerry Jones doing?
Yeah. And he's the guy that does that more than anything. Yeah. You know, it's pretty wild.
All right. Let's see. There hasn't been a whole lot right now just in the NFL because there aren't a lot of teams that are in training camp right now. I did see the Jags. They're bringing back one of the throwbacks. And I guess the Jags don't really have. Yeah, they don't really have throwbacks.
It's about as old school as you can get.
Yeah, but just because they basically had the same logo the entire time the team has been there. They basically had the same color scheme since the team has been there. But there have been some subtle shifts in uniforms. And I'll be honest, I really like the old uniforms. I love the logo when they first got into the league. I love the jerseys, the teal when they first got into the league. I'm going to need at some point, I'm not sure when they're going to be wearing these kind of throwbacks, but I'm going to need to see a Seth Payne old school Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, that would be great.
Like, I need to see one of his. I want to see the teal. I want to see the white. I want to see the helmets were great. So we need to make that happen. Seth Payne, we need an old Jacksonville Jaguars jersey.
I'm sure he has one somewhere at his house or somewhere. But I think it's a kind of a, not a lesson, but just kind of a sign of why the Texans, as much as the McNair family loved it, Bob McNair loved the original, you know, logo and colors and uniform, and Janice McNair loves it, who, by the way, it was great seeing Janice McNair out of practice today. She made an appearance, went to her little air-conditioned tent. It was pretty badass. Don't
complain about it like some people.
Yeah. Did not complain about it.
I was about to say, was he upset about it?
Nobody.
I didn't see John McClain?
I didn't see John McClain. No, I did, actually. But, it's kind of a lesson, for lack of a better term. Like, the Texans need to change things up for their regular uniform. I really, really like their alternate H-Town. You've seen the logo all over training camp. That H-Town logo is all over it. So they're clearly getting more sales. They did their season ticket, gift. They get season ticket holders. Like, the most popular ones, or at least most promoted ones, were the H-Town logo with the Love You Blue color, the H-Town blue color. So I think if they could do that and just use the Texans' older uniforms as the alternate, then they could be in that boat. It'd look pretty cool.
Not much of a change. I remember in 94, it was the 75th anniversary of the NFL, and there was like one weekend where everybody wore throwbacks.
Yeah.
We need to get back to that. But the only problem is, if they were to do that, like, what would the Texans go to?
They couldn't do the Oilers. Yeah,
they don't really have
any. Yeah, they don't have a throwback.
Yeah, that they could go to. So
that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, they need to throw back to this one and use the new one.
I just don't know if there's like enough of a difference to where you can consider.
Oh, there's a big difference on the home with the H-Town blue. On the,
he's
on
talking
the
about the alternate.
The logo. Yeah. You're talking about the alternate.
Yeah.
But he like, want the alternate uniforms to be the regular ones.
Home uniform.
Yeah, but here's my question. Well, let's say the Texans have a throwback weekend here in the next however many years. What jerseys would they go with for throwback weekend?
The ones they was wearing last year.
But don't those feel like so similar to what they're wearing now? Like, the helmet is exactly the same.
No, those are similar.
So
I'm saying, like, they needed some sort of like wholesale change. Like, I remember the Oilers when they did the throwbacks, they were completely, I mean, the color scheme was the same, but the jerseys were very, very different from the 1960s.
Well, let me show you. I'm looking at the season ticket gifts right now that the Texans just sent out. I believe it was yesterday. Houston Texans hat with the H-Town blue. Houston Texans chain with the H-Town logo. Houston Texans bag with the H-Town blue. Houston Texans, what is this? I don't even know what this thing is. Some sort of gift that also H-Town blue. Like, they know this is the most popular one. Like, the new H-Town blue is the most, and I get that it's new. So
just make that the helmet.
Yes.
Make that the primary helmet. Like, just make that the primary helmet. Is there a cash option for this gift?
Just get cash?
Yeah.
They have a gold chain. Look at this one, Figgy. Gold chain with the H-Town logo. No, they give it to you.
Oh, it's a gift.
Well, you get credits as a season ticket holder.
What? However many tickets you have is how many credits or whatever.
It's 2 credits. Like,
I'll take the cash option. Thank you.
This is the most popular logo. This bag is pretty dang sweet. Look at that duffel bag with the H-Town blue and the logo. Like, why are we trying to stick to something? Why are we trying to stick with something that the fans prefer something else? Like, it's getting very obvious.
You got a line to the man. Ask him.
Yeah, I was about to say, it might be an NFL thing, too. They probably got to ease it in, pause, and kind of, I guess, wait a little bit I don't think they can make a full-blown change like that already, especially with the drama with the Tennessee Titans.
But they made a full-blown change. I hear you. I'm just saying.
Get Roger on the phone.
I think the other thing, too, is like as much as we like the alternate uniforms, I think a lot of people like the original ones, too.
No, there's no doubt.
I don't think they wanted to. That's why it looked similar. I think they didn't want to make a huge change to it because a lot of people did like the normal one.
Yeah, but if they put out like data, I don't know if they even will, like best-selling items, I don't even have to look at it. I can guarantee you it's this stuff.
I like the red.
I like the red, I like the red.
Red should be the primary. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, we'll see the internet is going nuts. There's some Y2K stuff out there,
I don't know
if it's getting any better. We'll also play the hits, too, because we didn't get a chance to do that earlier. So we'll play the hits. We'll also let you know what's making the internet go nuts. That's next on In the Loop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I got the internet going nuts.
I'm back on In the Loop, and this has been a controversy that has been brewing really ever since Texas joined the SEC, and that was, who's the real UT? Mm-hmm. You have the University of Tennessee and you have the University of Texas. Well, the SEC has decided who the real UT is, and it's Tennessee. Tennessee is the real UT in the SEC.
Now, how so?
According to the conference. So, look, the conference just sent out its preseason first and second teams.
Yeah.
The Texas guys, Quinn Ewers is on their second team. CJ Baxter, Isaiah Bond, they're on the second team. Kelvin Banks, Cooper Mays are on the second team. This is just for the offensive guys.
Yeah.
The Texas guys are notated with the abbreviation TEX. The Tennessee guys are notated with the abbreviation UT.
Oh, man.
So it has been decided. Man.
This isn't causing a stir, is it?
I don't think it is.
You know it's going to be. It already is.
So is this rookie hazing? Are the Texas people being hazed for being the new team? I think
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I don't know.
But y'all coming to our conference.
Yes.
So we the UT.
They're deferring to the traditional older, longer UT as the UT. And I think it actually, I mean, it has to stay some way.
But I mean, Texas is probably going to wind up bringing in a whole lot more revenue than Tennessee.
I know, but you can't put UT and UT.
No, but
you're going to change it to 10?
UT and TEN. Yeah, you could.
Nah, I don't think they're. I don't think they're going
to
do that.
According to the SEC League Office, the real UT is the University of Tennessee. Sorry, I mean, yeah. Texas could always go to TU.
Yeah. Well, they probably don't want to do that either.
They could always give that one a try. I know. Yeah. I know your people like doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, some of them do. I don't do that.
Do it saying like it'd be easier to have Texas spelt out all the way since it's shorter than Tennessee, though.
I guess, but.
But they put TEX.
Yeah, they put TEX on the release. So
this is
going to be a big thing. Yeah, no, it's silly, thing. But it's going to be a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, the SEC has decided. Now, what's interesting, I don't know what they do for like Bama, because you have like University of Alabama, Auburn.
Yeah, but that's probably.
I don't know. Is Arkansas University or University of Arkansas?
University of Arkansas.
What about Auburn?
Auburn University.
Okay. So you have University of Arkansas, University of Alabama.
They put AU?
There is an AU, but it's for Auburn.
Yeah. Alabama's ALA, right?
But
yeah.
I don't see on the first team any Bama. Carson Beck is first team quarterback. Trevor Etienne is the first team running back. Jarquez Hunter, first team running back. He's AU for Auburn.
Yeah.
I guess Tyler Booker here is a UA.
Oh, okay.
So and that's Alabama. That's so Alabama. Is the UA.
Yeah. That makes sense. And that's the way it's always been, I think, too.
I just hope Oklahoma State don't go to the Big Ten. We don't need that type of drama.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, Lord. That ain't going
to
change.
You got nothing to worry about.
You got nothing to worry about.
You got nothing to worry about.
Hey, I'll be seeing a couple arguments. I'll just be rolling my eyes. Yeah. Like, come on. You got bless your heart. About.
Yeah, bless your heart.
Okay. You were alive. You know, you were working professionally during Y2K. I was alive during Y2K. And there were all these... Y2K, it's going to destroy the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of happened today.
It did kind of happen. CrowdStrike is the official company that from Microsoft that everything crashed. Like, we're all screwed, basically, is what we're saying here. If it happens like on a given Friday in July for no apparent reason. Now, the CEO is saying that it wasn't a cyber attack or anything. I don't know if I totally believe that, but okay. But like, this is just like the more I see updates from companies and people affected by CrowdStrike, like, this is crippling the world. Can you imagine if it just gets incrementally slightly worse?
Well, I just saw a kind of just a graphic of airplane travel, like just the radar, and how just flights are just dropping off the radar.
Oh, it went from all yellow. Yeah. I saw that one to like maybe four or five.
Yes. let me tell you something. I got an international flight here in 16 days.
Yeah.
Y'all better fix it.
You're going to lose your bleep.
I'm not dealing with this.
Oh, man.
He's going to lose. You're going to see Adam Spillane like you've never seen Adam Spillane before.
It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun for anyone. Yeah. And you feel bad for these people who are traveling. There was one woman who, she was traveling with like a big group of people, like with her family, like 8 people. And she's going through how much money she spent just on the airline tickets, how much money she spent on just like getting transportation to the airport, on all the stuff with the luggage and all the stuff with the hotels. And she was offered like $100 rebate.
Yeah, come on. Like,
we got to do better than that.
How about those summer trips that schools take?
Oh, yeah.
Like 15, 20, 50 kids with however many parents.
That's more than 15 kids, I bet, a lot of them.
Yeah. And the chaperones and all that. And you've seen them in the airport. You know, the kids are all running everywhere. And you're trying to keep them organized. You're trying to keep them organized. And all of a sudden, that's it, kids. Nothing going on today.
Yeah. You just spent however much money. Your parents just spent however much money to send you on this trip. Yes, we got to go home.
Mm-hmm.
No refunds. But here's $100 from the airline.
We'll give you $100.
Yeah, that'll cover it. Yeah, that's.
Although the kids will probably say, sweet. Well, they didn't pay anything.
Yeah. Here's $100.
All right, I'm happy.
Give it to your parents.
Yeah, oh, sure. I will.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right. Where am I on this thing?
Peyton Manning.
Yes, Peyton Manning. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning has said a lot about C.J. Stroud in the past. He had something else to say about him. What was this yesterday?
I thought I thought it was very telling. Obviously, Peyton Manning, you know, a longtime Colt, and certainly, you know, still has that affiliation. But he was asked on Pat McAfee's show about C.J. Stroud. He said two things that I thought were really, really telling.
Like, I think about my rookie year, Pat. Like, you know, I kind of say it's so hard as a rookie, all these interceptions. C.J. Stroud says it's not that hard. He went out and dominated as a rookie. So I think you're right. I think that division kind of goes through Houston. And obviously, you know, DeMeco, look, they have a target on their backs, right? Everybody knows who they are. They're not sneaking up on anybody, but they're going to answer that challenge. But it's a great division. But, like, I'm a big fan of Stroud. I got to know him. I coached him at the Pro Bowl this year, Pat. Humble guy, hard worker, super talented. Just nice to, you know, my son, nice to all the fans there. I didn't get to know him. He didn't come to our football camp, Pat. He had a team commitment that he honored, and I kind of felt bad. You know, he kind of got criticized for not coming to the camp. NFL people kind of said, hey, you were supposed to go. You didn't go, and I kind of missed that. I probably could have come out and clarified that, hey, he never committed to come. It was all good. So I actually apologized to him recently about kind of the criticism he had to face from NFL teams in his combine interviews. That was ridiculous, but big fan of him. So yeah, look, I'm all on the Colts bandwagon, but we got to do something about these other teams in the AFC South.
You know what's interesting about this? And Peyton Manning briefly talked about interceptions. Do you know the fewest number of interceptions Peyton Manning threw in a season?
The fewest. Well, you know about his rookie year and all that stuff.
His rookie year, he threw 28 interceptions. Yeah. C.J. Stroud threw 5 interceptions as a rookie last year.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning threw 28. The fewest number of interceptions that Peyton Manning threw in a single season was 9.
Yeah.
And like C.J. Stroud was like half of that as a rookie.
Yeah.
Now, some of that is luck to a certain degree. Like, I'm sure C.J. There were passes that could have been intercepted that C.J. Stroud threw that weren't. But that's pretty remarkable that he threw 23 fewer interceptions as a rookie than Peyton Manning, one of, what, the 3 or 4 best quarterbacks in the history of the sport. And his interception total as a rookie was almost half of Peyton Manning's lowest interception total. That's crazy.
That says a lot. That what I was thinking about with that is, first of all, he was the guy that the AFC South went through. And he's flat out saying the AFC South goes through C.J. Stroud. He knows what it is when you have it. And then the second thing that I found cool there, like, he's defending C.J. Stroud for something that we heard. I don't know how much we really talked about it, but we heard a lot about, oh, he didn't go to Peyton Manning's camp. And he's like, nah, man, I feel so bad that I didn't get to do this and explain it. Like, clearly, he is a huge C.J. Stroud fan and defending you know, giving us some information that we could have used before the draft.
I was about to say, it took so long, buddy.
Could have used before the
waited
draft.
Waited till he was good, huh?
That was really a thing. He didn't go to...
Oh, I remember it. Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing.
They made a huge deal
Yeah, they did.
All right. The Open Championship being played right now.
Don't call it the Open Championship.
It's the Open Championship.
Don't call it the Open.
Where does it go?
It's the... Okay, look. In England and Britain... they call it the Open Championship.
So that's what it's called.
And so a bunch of golf snobs. No, I said in England. For decades upon decades upon decades, we here called it, and in other countries, the British Open, because it's their Open. But now all these golf snobs in the United States and other places are trying to sound froofy and proper, and they call it the Open now, too. It's the British Open.
The Open Championship.
Yes, exactly.
Championship.
The Open Championship.
So the Open Championship is being played in Scotland. Royal Troon in Scotland.
Yes.
Tiger Woods missed the cut.
Tiger Woods did miss the cut.
14 over.
This is a wild tournament. By the way, leaders after day 2, Shane Lowry -7, Justin Rose -5, Scottie Scheffler in the hunt, tied for 4th. That's
five shots back.
That 5 shots back, but he's tied for 4th. That's not the most interesting thing about this tournament so far. You know, they have the big long grass and the wild roughs and the big winds and
the
all that.
The grass is not green.
Did you see the grass is not green. Did you see that dude that just said, bleep it, in the middle of the round? Said, screw it, I'm out, I'm done. Like he, Langasque or something?
I vaguely heard about that. These courses.
He just, like, quick, he pitched. It went like 5 yards. He walked up to it, took off his hat, turned to the official, said, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. That's what we do. That's what we do when we're playing with our boys and there's no way we're going to win money.
That's the problem. Like, these courses that they use for the Open Championship, like, the weather can be just... I don't know how bad it was today, but the weather can just be so bad because summers out there are a whole lot different than they are here. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not near. I remember I was in London a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and it was like 80 degrees on a Sunday afternoon. And somebody is saying it is boiling out here. It's 80 degrees, and they're complaining about it being boiling. So it's rainy, it's windy, it's cold. Like, yes. it is. So I can see like how you can just have some brutal rounds.
Romain Langasque, a French professional golfer, who said afterwards,
"Of course, a French guy."
That's the line of the day. He raised the white flag and walked off the field. Yeah. I mean, walked off the course. Now, of course, he tweeted later, "I hurt my back a hole earlier," and blah. And I'm like, okay, well,
I'll be playing next week, though. Yeah,
you didn't quit until you hit that shot.
It's like Jose Altuve. My hand hurts, but I'm going to play the 8 previous games before the All-Star break, and I'm going to play the 8 games
after. And
then
I need to rest it.
But I'm not playing the All-Star game.
Then I need to rest it. So it's been brutal. And Brian Harman, who won the British Open last year, like he had a shot. It was a highlight making the rounds today, getting the internet going nuts. Like, he hit a bad shot, got his club, and like slammed it on the ground twice, just like us, just like we do.
This is the 25th anniversary of the Vandeveld
triple bogey
on the 18th.
Final hole.
That was at St. Andrews.
Yeah.
Almost, he should have won the Open Championship, and he blew it on the last hole. A triple on the last hole. That's...
And he shouldn't have won it. By the way, also French.
Yes. Jean Vandeveld.
It's a French just like, we're out. We're out. What is that, thunder or an airplane?
He finished the round. At least he got paid. He got some money out of it. Yeah. He was on the Ryder Cup team after that, but was not heard from after that. All right, coming up next, we will close out the show. Mentioned Jose Altuve a second ago. Jose Altuve and the Astros in action tonight in Seattle as the Astros restart their season after the All-Star break. A real opportunity to stake their claim to the AL West. That's next on In the Loop.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I think finish the first half strong, obviously, put ourselves in a good position. Now, got to execute in the second half and play good baseball.
Right, that was Alex Bregman on Sunday. Adam Spillane, John Lopez with you on In the Loop. Figgy Fig here, final segment of the show before we hit the weekend. Big series in Seattle. Astros come back from the All-Star break. They played, obviously, very good baseball going into the break. They were at 1.6 games over 500 after being at 1.12 games under. They were 10 games back of the Mariners, now just one game back, and they are in Seattle for three this weekend. And it's one of those things, John, where the Astros have an opportunity here to really stake their claim to the division and just kind of remind everybody that, yeah, it kind of goes through us here.
Well, when you think about it, and this is not like something that we haven't talked about, but as we're entering the second half of the season, to think that they were 10 games back
killed them
in June. I did. And
killed them off.
I did. And so I'm not hiding from that. But to think like in June, they were 10 games back last month.
Yeah.
And now they could come back from Seattle, leading the division. It lets you know these are still the Astros. The one thing that I've consistently said, like, they have the gene. The Mariners know it. The Mariners are looking in their rearview mirror collectively. Like, they absolutely are. So it's almost as if, like, okay, it's happening, but it's not happening because I still think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, not just in this series, but like right before the trade deadline. Like, we can go through them. I mean, there's a lot of questions still right now that they have to answer.
Deadline's in 11 days, July 30th. Mariners are not playing well. Mm-hmm. And really, it is kind of, for them, that's a team that had big expectations coming into the season. Probably the best pitching staff in the American League, at least, maybe even in all of baseball.
Yeah.
And they just haven't been able to capitalize. Offensively, that is a bad team. Mm-hmm. And they were just swept in Anaheim last weekend. And Anaheim, you know, the Angels are really, really bad. The Angels aren't necessarily trying to win. So the Mariners have tried certain things. They fired hitting coaches. They fired their quote-unquote offensive coordinator after the Astros were there the last time. But that is a team that has the ability to get better because they have more in the system. Whereas the Astros, they aren't stuck with what they have. The Astros can certainly make additions before the deadline, but they can't make the type of big trade. At least they shouldn't be able to make the type of big trade that maybe they've been able to make in the past.
And the thing is, like, you know, we know that the Astros can get this done. They've gotten it done. And despite their shortcomings, they're here. You know, they're here where they're in a position. What I'm saying, though, is I need to know. They've set up their pitching staff perfectly for this first three games out of the chute after the All-Star break. But then again, so did Seattle. But then you have to go, like, okay, what is the latest with Justin Verlander? When will we see him? Luis Garcia, like you said earlier, it may not be a setback, but his you know, recovery or return has been slowed down. There's two guys. We know McCullers is done. I will say that, and I think most people won't disagree with that, at least for this year, and certainly as a starting pitcher. And then Kyle Tucker. Like, we're going to be going on 8 weeks. It's 7 weeks right now, and he won't be back this week by any stretch. So there are still those big questions you got to answer.
So if you haven't been around or haven't been paying attention, which, again, it's the All-Star break, so you probably haven't been paying attention. But here's kind of the latest with what we have on all those guys right now. And we'll get an update here.
Probably today.
Yeah, Joe Espada will talk to reporters in Seattle probably around 6 o'clock today, maybe 6:30. But so the latest with Kyle Tucker was that he was doing stuff on the field. And so that was the first time we saw him throwing on the field for the first time last week since he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, we have not seen him run on the field, and that's the big step for him. Justin Verlander was supposed to throw a 10 to 15 pitch bullpen on Sunday. He wound up throwing a 25 pitch bullpen. That's a really good sign, and the plan was for him to throw a bullpen this week during the All-Star break. He stayed back in Houston. We'll find out if that actually went off without a hitch and what the next step is there. Garcia is the interesting one because he was trending in the right direction to where it looked like he'd be able to return to the rotation in August. Mm-hmm. Had some soreness in his arm after his last rehab start. So they didn't shut him down. He was still throwing, but he was not throwing off the mound. So that's why Espada did not want to call it a setback, because he was still throwing. So they just really slowed down his rehab. And then McCullers is the one that really had the big setback, just because McCullers is not throwing. And they shut McCullers had not started facing hitters. They shut him down. And my guess is we will know exactly what the deal is with that at some
point. We decided to kind of pull back on his progression.
Also, AKA shut down.
So we will know, but we'll know more about that here in the next few hours. And Dana Brown did say that they still hope to have him back in September, but it would be essentially as a reliever.
But the reason I bring that up, and I think it's so important, is you mentioned it, 11 days away. So if these things don't start happening soon, I think Kyle Tucker will be back. Maybe not as fast as we'd like. Already it's not as fast as we'd like. But if these things, especially with the pitchers, don't start happening soon, you got to make a call, man. Like, you got to make a call. They're not going to extend the trade deadline just for you.
And there's no August 31st deadline now.
Yes.
Now, if their approach should be, we can't count on these guys to come back. We can't count on Verlander to come back. We can't count on Garcia to come back. And listen, they might very well come back, and they probably will come back, especially in the case of Verlander. But if you don't have a plan B or a plan C for the event that they hit some sort of other snag, or there's some other injury that occurs, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
And that is where Dana Brown, I think, has come up short over the last year or so, is that they have gone into this thing saying, oh, we have plenty of depth with starting pitching.
Yeah.
When you say that, guys get
hurt. Careful.
and basically, you look at the six starting pitchers that they had going into spring training that they expected to be starters for them this year. All of them except for Hunter Brown have been on the IL at least once.
Yeah.
And Verlander has been on the IL twice. Javier has been on the IL twice. He needed Tommy John surgery. Urquidy never pitched in a game before. He had Tommy John surgery. So just the idea that you ever have depth in the starting rotation is just complete folly. And so they have to be able to make that plan and make that determination that we need to add at least one guy just in case. Like, all those guys could come back. Garcia could come back and Verlander could come back and everything could go great. But you just need to have a plan B because, as I've said many times, starting pitchers were put on this earth to break. That is what they do.
Well, of course they are. The thing I've always said for years is you never finish a season with the same pitching staff you start with, like, ever. And they knew that. And they knew they were already short. And now you're in a position where, like, you're right. Like they, it shouldn't even matter whether you think they're going to come back or not. You still need to make those moves. But I think it puts a little more pressure on you to make those moves if you start seeing things that they're not progressing the way you want.
The fact that they are using a guy that was drafted last year in their starting rotation right now tells you all you need to know about where they are with their starting rotation. And so, again, they need to be looking around for somebody. And they could probably go and add a big ticket guy in the trade market. I wouldn't recommend it just because I would try and keep that farm system built up somewhat so that you still have something of a future. But they need to go get somebody that can come and contribute to them, not only just this year, but next year and the year after, because we talk about how this starting rotation is a question mark now. If you look into the future, it's even more of a question mark.
Yeah.
Verlander is probably gone after this season. Framber Valdez probably gone after 2025. You're counting on, or Keedy might be gone too, because he doesn't have a contract for next year. So you're counting on Christian Javier coming back from Tommy John surgery. You're counting on Luis Garcia coming back from Tommy John surgery. You're counting on Lance McCullers. And obviously, I think that we've all learned you can't really count on Lance McCullers at this point. And they don't have anything in the minor league system at this point. So they need to do something.
And that's why when we were asking each other about most important people going into the second half, your answer was Dana Brown.
Yes.
Because I mean, this is the time to make those decisions, and I'll tell you what, he's failed in this exact situation already this year before the season even began, when they needed another bat and they needed another pitcher.
As soon as Verlander and JP France got hurt, he should have been on the phone looking for starting pitching.
Yeah.
And as soon as Jose Urquidy got hurt in spring training, he should have been on the phone looking for starting pitching. They got complacent in that area, and it has hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to survive it so far, but they're not going to be able to survive it for the next, 66 games that they have left. So it's really, to me, it's really like, I've had people say, well, they should go add a first baseman. You know, Yandy Diaz was somebody that came up earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. has come up a lot over the last few weeks. Your priorities are in the wrong place if that's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
The priorities need to be starting pitching, and then maybe another bullpen arm to help them get through just with those so that they don't try and wear out those top three guys. Because that's another adjustment that Joe Espada has talked about. Like, I can't keep – you saw this on Sunday where he had his non-leverage guys pitching in high-leverage situations just because they can't continue to just ride – the three guys, Presley, Abreu, and Hader, the way that they have. They need to find contributions from other people.
How about now? We have Texans practice again tomorrow morning and 2 days under. And you keep saying it, and it's not a jinx. It's like the no-hitter thing. You keep saying the best thing of all, and you're absolutely right. No significant injuries. No real injuries at all. And I know they don't have the pads on, but they're active out there. They're making contact. These are the little things that nobody really pays attention to. Of course, it's C.J. Stroud. Like, everything revolves around him. The football world in Houston revolves around C.J. Stroud. But in order to get to that next level, you have to have all these little things going well. They've had the 2 days in. They've been pretty healthy. The players that they've brought in, not one of them have you looked at and gone, Stephon Diggs, off the charts from what we've seen. Al-Shaair, off the charts from what we've seen. And again, you got to do it in the context of 2 days with no pads, but still, hell, Joe Mixon.
Yes.
I'm looking at Joe Mixon going, damn. I mean,
that's the one to me that really stood out.
Yeah.
Mixon, especially yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got Ron and Clint are here. They're putting their headphones in.
But all, what's up, like, baby? Everything, Clint, like every major acquisition that they've gotten has been like at least what you expected, if not more, in the short time that we've seen them on the field.
Yeah, I mean that's their hit rate on those guys, which I don't know that I'll be honest with you, I've not covered a team that acquired so many Pro Bowl caliber guys at one time. You know, I just don't know what it looks like, but there's no doubt. I mean, it seems like every single guy. The top four or five, at least, that they brought in, boy, they are pretty convincing in the first couple of days. They looked the part, in a brief couple of days, they damn sure seem like they play the part as well.
Yeah.
Anything else stand out to you guys, Ron?
Well,
anything stand
out to you? First off, Clint's about to blow his wad here in about 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness!
On
I'm gonna get out of here then.
on Joe Mixon. I mean, you wait till you hear the excitement level of this guy.
He's got
a question for
before we get to that boner.
Oh, he's got a question. Well,
I mean, Joe, have some for me, look.
Well, I need at least a tease.
He's got a question. I don't even know if it's a question. I think he's ready to say.
I feel pretty good about it. There's a little bit of context that's necessary. Everybody's gonna trip, but at the beginning. But if they'll listen, if you'll listen, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and
it makes a little look at that. Look at that. Look at
makes
yeah.
some, makes some really
we
good
got
sense.
Lopez across his leg. And
I
put
got
his
my
hand
legs crossed. I'm doing the thinking man position. What could it be? What could it be?
Yeah, I tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about it on the show, but I was under the impression that when we signed Danielle Hunter, it was pass rusher galore with those kind of numbers, probably a little bit lighter. You look at the weight, you know, he is on a little bit on the light side, not necessarily light side, but you get my point. You could think
260,
and I thought pass rusher. Well, he walked up on me today, boys. I thought, that's a large human. He's not gonna have a problem against a run either. He's gonna be all right. The two defensive ends that they're gonna trot out there to start at least, Will Anderson and
was he bigger than Gennard?
Did it feel? Yeah, absolutely. Frame wise, Gennard was a little bigger in the lower half. But frame wise, yeah. I mean, he's what was Gennard? Was Gennard 6'3"? I don't know what they had him listed at. Gennard was a little wider, but boy, he looks a lot bigger than he's listed. Danielle Hunter does.
Yeah.
We got some good stuff, man.
All right.
It's a good day.
All right. Ron and Clint have you covered until 6. Everyone out there, have a great weekend. Thank you to Figgy holding it down. For John Lopez, for Figgy Fig, I'm Adam Spillane saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. You are listening to KILT, KILT HD2, an Audi sports station.
Babe, good job.
Spillane, right, you have a good weekend, too. I mean, quit just wishing everybody a good... You'll have a damn good weekend, too, Spo.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I think finished the first half strong, obviously, put ourselves in a good position. Got to execute in the second half and play good baseball.
Right, that was Alex Bregman on Sunday. Adam Spillane, John Lopez with you on In the Loop. Figgy Fig here, final segment of the show before we hit the weekend. Big series in Seattle. Astros come back from the All-Star break. They played, obviously, very good baseball going into the break. They were at 1.6 games over 500 after being at 1.12 games under. They were 10 games back of the Mariners, now just one game back, and they are in Seattle for three this weekend. And it's one of those things, John, where the Astros have an opportunity here to really stake their claim to the division and just kind of remind everybody that, yeah, it kind of goes through us here.
Well, when you think about it, and this is not like something that we haven't talked about, but as we're entering the second half of the season, to think that they were 10 games back in June. I did. And
killed them off.
I did. And so I'm not done. I'm not hiding from that. But to think like in June, they were 10 games back last month.
Yeah.
And now they could come back from Seattle leading the division. It lets you know these are still the Astros. The one thing that I've consistently said, like, they have the gene. The Mariners know it. The Mariners are looking in their rearview mirror collectively. Like, they absolutely are. So it's almost as if, like, okay, it's happening, but it's not happening because I still think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, not just in this series, but like right before the trade deadline. Like we can go through them. I mean, there's a lot of questions still right now that they have to answer.
Deadline's in 11 days, July 30th. Mariners are not playing well. Mm-hmm. And really, it is kind of, for them, that's a team that had big expectations coming into the season. Probably the best pitching staff in the American League, at least, maybe even in all of baseball.
Yeah.
And they just haven't been able to capitalize. Offensively, that is a bad team. Mm-hmm. And they were just swept in Anaheim last weekend. And Anaheim, you know, the Angels are really, really bad. The Angels aren't necessarily trying to win. So the Mariners have tried certain things. They fired hitting coaches. They fired their quote-unquote offensive coordinator after the Astros were there the last time. But that is a team that has the ability to get better because they have more in the system. Whereas the Astros, they aren't stuck with what they have. The Astros can certainly make additions before the deadline, but they can't make the type of big trade. At least they shouldn't be able to make the type of big trade that maybe they've been able to make in the past.
And the thing is, like, you know, we know that the Astros can get this done. They've gotten it done. And despite their shortcomings, they're here. You know, they're here where they're in a position. What I'm saying, though, is I need to know they've set up their pitching staff perfectly for this first three games out of the chute after the All-Star break. But then again, so did Seattle. But then you have to go like, okay, what is the latest with Justin Verlander? When will we see him? Luis Garcia, like you said earlier, it may not be a setback, but his you know, recovery or return has been slowed down. There's two guys. We know McCullers is done. I will say that, and I think most people won't disagree with that, at least for this year, and certainly as a starting pitcher. And then Kyle Tucker. Like, we're going to be going on 8 weeks. It's 7 weeks right now, and he won't be back this week by any stretch. So there are still those big questions you got to answer.
So if you haven't been around or haven't been paying attention, which, again, it's the All-Star break, so you probably haven't been paying attention. But here's kind of the latest with what we have on all those guys right now. And we'll get an update here.
Probably today.
Yeah, Joe Espada will talk to reporters in Seattle probably around 6 o'clock today, maybe 6:30. But so the latest with Kyle Tucker was that he was doing stuff on the field. And so that was the first time we saw him throwing on the field for the first time last week since he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, we have not seen him run on the field, and that's the big step for him. Justin Verlander was supposed to throw a 10 to 15 pitch bullpen on Sunday. He wound up throwing a 25 pitch bullpen. That's a really good sign, and the plan was for him to have throw a bullpen this week during the All-Star break. He stayed back in Houston. We'll find out if that actually went off without a hitch and what the next step is there. Garcia is the interesting one because he was trending in the right direction to where it looked like he'd be able to return to the rotation in August. Mm-hmm. Had some soreness in his arm after his last rehab start. So they didn't shut him down. He was still throwing, but he was not throwing off the mound. So that's why Espada did not want to call it a setback because he was still throwing. So they just really slowed down his rehab. And then McCullers is the one that really had the big setback just because McCullers is not throwing. And they shut McCullers had not started facing hitters. They shut him down. And my guess is we will know exactly what the deal is with that. At some
point. We decided to kind of pull back on his progression.
Also, AKA shut down.
So we will know, we'll know more about that here in the next few hours. And Dana Brown did say that they still hope to have him back in September, but it would be essentially as a reliever.
But the reason I bring that up, and I think it's so important, is you mentioned it, 11 days away. So if these things don't start happening soon, I think Kyle Tucker will be back. Maybe not as fast as we'd like. Already it's not as fast as we'd like. But if these things, especially with the pitchers, don't start happening soon, you got to make a call, man. Like, you got to make a call. They're not going to extend the trade deadline just for you.
And there's no August 31st deadline now.
Yes.
Now, if their approach should be, we can't count on these guys to come back. We can't count on Verlander to come back. We can't count on Garcia to come back. And listen, they might very well come back, and they probably will come back, especially in the case of Verlander. But if you don't have a plan B or a plan C for the event that they hit some sort of other snag or there's some other injury that occurs, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
And that is where Dana Brown, I think, has come up short over the last year or so, is that they have gone into this thing saying, oh, we have plenty of depth with starting pitching.
Yeah.
When you say that, guys get
hurt. Careful.
and basically, you look at the six starting pitchers that they had going into spring training that they expected to be starters for them this year. All of them except for Hunter Brown have been on the IL at least once.
Yeah.
And Verlander has been on the IL twice. Javier has been on the IL twice. He needed Tommy John surgery. Urquidy never pitched in a game before. He had Tommy John surgery. So just the idea that you ever have depth in the starting rotation is just complete folly. And so they have to be able to make that plan and make that determination that we need to add at least one guy just in case. Like, all those guys could come back. Garcia could come back and Verlander could come back and everything could go great. But you just need to have a plan B because, as I've said many times, starting pitchers were put out on this earth to break. That is what they do.
Well, of course they are. The thing I've always said for years is you never finish a season with the same pitching staff you start with, like ever. And they knew that. And they knew they were already short. And now you're in a position where, like, you're right. Like they, it shouldn't even matter whether you think they're going to come back or not. You still need to make those moves. But I think it puts a little more pressure on you to make those moves if you start seeing things that they're not progressing the way you want.
The fact that they are using a guy that was drafted last year in their starting rotation right now tells you all you need to know about where they are with their starting rotation. And so, again, they need to be looking around for somebody. And they could probably go and add a big ticket guy in the trade market. I wouldn't recommend it just because I would try and keep that farm system built up somewhat so that you still have something of a future. But they need to go get somebody that can come and contribute to them, not only just this year, but next year and the year after. Because we talk about how this starting rotation is a question mark now. If you look into the future, it's even more of a question mark.
Yeah.
Verlander is probably gone after this season. Framber Valdez probably gone after 2025. You're counting on, or Urquidy might be gone too, because he doesn't have a contract for next year. So you're counting on Christian Javier coming back from Tommy John surgery. You're counting on Luis Garcia coming back from Tommy John surgery. You're counting on Lance McCullers. And obviously, I think that we've all learned you can't really count on Lance McCullers at this point. And they don't have anything in the minor league system at this point. So they need to do something.
And that's why when we were asking each other about most important people going into the second half, your answer was Dana Brown.
Yes.
Because, I mean, this is the time to make those decisions. And I'll tell you what, he's failed in this exact situation already this year before the season even began, when they needed another bat and they needed another pitcher.
As soon as Verlander and J.P. France got hurt, he should have been on the phone looking for starting pitching.
Yeah.
And as soon as Jose Urquidy got hurt in spring training, he should have been on the phone looking for starting pitching. They got complacent in that area, and it has hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to survive it so far, but they're not going to be able to survive it for the next, however, 66 games that they have left. So it's really, to me, it's really like I've had people say, well, they should go add a first baseman. You know, Yandy Diaz was somebody that came up earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. has come up a lot over the last few weeks. Your priorities are in the wrong place if that's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
The priorities need to be starting pitching, and then maybe another bullpen arm to help them get through just with those so that they don't try and wear out those top three guys. Because that's another adjustment that Joe Espada has talked about. Like, I can't keep – you saw this on Sunday where he had his non-leverage guys pitching in high-leverage situations just because they can't continue to just ride – the three guys, Presley, Abreu, and Hader, the way that they have. They need to find contributions from other people.
How about now? We have Texans practice again tomorrow morning and 2 days under. And you keep saying it, and it's not a jinx. It's like the no-hitter thing. You keep saying the best thing of all, and you're absolutely right. No significant injuries. No real injuries at all. And I know they don't have the pads on, but they're active out there. They're making contact. These are the little things that nobody really pays attention to. Of course, it's C.J. Stroud. Like, everything revolves around him. The football world in Houston revolves around C.J. Stroud. But in order to get to that next level, you have to have all these little things going well. They've had the 2 days in. They've been pretty healthy. The players that they've brought in, not one of them have you looked at and gone, Stephon Diggs, off the charts from what we've seen. Al-Shaair, off the charts from what we've seen. And again, you got to do it in the context of 2 days with no pads, but still, hell, Joe Mixon,
yes.
I'm looking at Joe Mixon going, damn. I mean
that's the one to me that really stood out,
yeah.
Mixon, especially yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got Ron and Clint are here. They're putting their headphones in.
But all,
what's up,
like,
baby?
Everything, Clint, like every major acquisition that they've gotten has been like at least what you expected, if not more, in the short time that we've seen him on the field.
Yeah, I mean their hit rate on those guys, which I don't know that I'll be honest with you, I've not covered a team that acquired so many you know Pro Bowl caliber guys at one time. You know, I just don't know what it looks like, but there's no doubt. I mean, it seems like every single guy. The top four or five, at least, that they brought in,
mm-hmm.
boy, they are pretty convincing in the first couple of days. They looked the part, in a brief couple of days, they damn sure, you know, seem like they play the part as well.
Yeah.
Anything else stand out to you guys? Ron,
well,
anything stand out to you?
First off, Clint's about to blow his wad here in about 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
On
I'm going to get out of here then.
On Joe Mixon, I mean, you wait till you hear the excitement level of this guy.
He's got
a question for
before we get to that boner.
Oh, he's got a question. Well, I mean,
Joe,
you'll
Joe,
have some
for me. Look,
well, I need at least a tease.
He's got a question. I don't even know if it's a question. I think he's ready to.
Oh,
say
I feel pretty good about it.
Pretty good about it.
I mean, there's a little bit of context that's necessary. Everybody's gonna trip, but at the beginning. But if you'll listen. You understand what I'm saying,
and
it makes
a little. Look at that.
Makes some really good sense.
Got Lopez across his leg. And
I got
his hand
my legs crossed. I'm doing the thinking man position. What could it be? What could it be?
Yeah, I tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about it on the show, but I was under the impression that when we signed Danielle Hunter, it was pass rusher galore,
mm-hmm.
with those kind of numbers, probably a little bit lighter. You look at the weight, you know, he is on a little bit on the light side, not necessarily light side, but you get my point. You could think
260.
I thought pass rusher. Well, he walked up on me today, boys. I thought, that's a large human. He's not going to have a problem against a run either. He's going to be all right. The two defensive ends that they're going to trot out there to start, at least, Will Anderson and
was he bigger than Gennard? Did it feel?
Yeah, absolutely. Frame wise, Grenard was a little lower, a little bigger in the lower half, but frame wise, yeah. I mean, he's what was Grenard? Was Grenard 6'3"? I don't know what they had him listed at. Grenard was a little wider, but boy, he looks a lot bigger than he's listed. Danielle Hunter does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some good stuff, man.
All right. It's
a good day.
All right. It's good. Ron and Clint have you covered until 6. Everyone out there, have a great weekend. Thank you to Figgy holding it down. For John Lopez, for Figgy Fig, I'm Adam Spillane saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. You are listening to KILT, KILT HD2, an Audi sports station.
Babe, good job.
Spillane, right, you have a good weekend, too. I mean, quit just wishing everybody a good. You'll have a damn good weekend, too, Spo.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
How about now? We have Texans practice again tomorrow morning. And 2 days under, and you keep saying it, and it's not a jinx. It's like the no hitter thing. You keep saying the best thing of all, and you're absolutely right. No significant injuries. No real injuries at all. And I know they don't have the pads on, but they're active out there. They're making contact. These are the little things that nobody really pays attention to. Of course, it's C.J. Stroud. Like, everything revolves around him. The football world in Houston revolves around C.J. Stroud. But in order to get to that next level, you have to have all these little things going well. They've had the 2 days in. They've been pretty healthy. The players that they've brought in, not one of them have you looked at and gone, Stephon Diggs, off the charts from what we've seen. Al-Shaair, off the charts from what we've seen. And again, you got to do it in the context of 2 days with no pads, but still. Joe Mixon, yes. I'm looking at Joe Mixon going, damn. I mean,
that's the one to me that really stood out.
Yeah.
Mixon, especially yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got Ron and Clint are here. They're putting their headphones in.
But all, what's up, like, baby? Everything, Clint, like every major acquisition that they've gotten has been like at least what you expected, if not more, in the short time that we've seen them on the field.
Yeah, I mean that's their hit rate on those guys, which I don't know that I'll be honest with you, I've not covered a team that acquired so many you know Pro Bowl caliber guys at one time. You know, I just don't know what it looks like, but there's no doubt. I mean, it seems like every single guy. The top four or five, at least, that they brought in,
mm-hmm.
boy, they are pretty convincing in the first couple of days. They looked apart, in a brief couple of days, they damn sure seem like they play the part as well.
Yeah.
Anything else stand out to you guys, Ron?
Well,
anything stand
out to you? First off, Clint's about to blow his wad here in about 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness!
On
I'm gonna get out of here then.
On Joe Mixon. I mean, you wait till you hear the excitement level of this guy.
He's got
a question for
before we get to that boner.
Oh, he's got a question. Well, I mean,
Joe, you'll Joe have some for me, look.
Well, I need at least a tease.
He's got a question. I don't even know if it's a question. I think he's ready to say.
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, there's a little bit of context that's necessary. Everybody's gonna trip, but at the beginning. But if you'll listen. You understand what I'm saying,
and it makes a little look at that, look at that, look at
makes
yeah.
some, makes some really
we
good
sense.
Got
Lopez
sense.
Across his yeah. across his leg, and put
I
his
got
hand
my legs crossed.
Head.
I'm doing the thinking yeah. man position. What could it be? What could it be?
Yeah, I tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about it on the show, but I was under the impression that when we signed Danielle Hunter, it was pass rusher galore
mm-hmm.
with those kind of numbers, probably a little bit lighter. You look at the weight, he is on a little bit on the light side, not necessarily light side, but you get my point. Is
yeah.
You could think
260.
And I thought pass rusher. Well, he walked up on me today, boys. I thought,
Yeah.
That's a large human. He's not going to have a problem against a run either. He's going to be all right. The two defensive ends that they're going to trot out there to start, at least, Will Anderson and
was he bigger than Gennard?
Did it feel?
Yeah,
absolutely. Frame wise, Gennard was a little lower, a little bigger in the lower half, but frame wise, yeah. I mean, he's what was Gennard? Was Gennard 6'3"? I don't know what they had him listed at. Gennard was a little wider, but mm-hmm. boy, he looks a lot bigger than he's listed. Danielle Hunter does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some good stuff, man.
All right.
It's a good day.
All right.
This is good.
Ron and Clint have you covered until 6. Everyone out there, have a great weekend. Thank you to Figgy holding it down. For John Lopez, for Figgy Fig, I'm Adam Spillane saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. You are listening to KILT, KILT HD2, an Audi sports station.
Babe, good job.
Spillane, right, you have a good weekend, too. I mean, quit just wishing everybody a good... You'll have a damn good weekend, too, Spo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.